One of the most alarming statistics canvassed in the Treasurer's speech last night related to the apparent failure of compulsory superannuation. Joe Hockey said that by 2050, the ratio of Australians receiving a full or part pension will remain at about 4 out of every 5. Former Federal Opposition Leader John Hewson has written extensively about superannuation. Dr. Hewson, welcome to The World Today. Why, after so many years of compulsory superannuation, won't we see the benefits of it by 2050?
Well, there are a number of reasons, of course, but I guess that you'd start by saying that the existing pension is not well targeted. Secondly, I think that the superannuation concessions are skewed in favour of the rich, and certainly to the disadvantage. In fact, the low-income earners are penalised. So I do think the whole system needs review, not just the government spending on age pensions, which is what has been the focus of what Joe Hockey and others have spoken about. It's also the tax concessions that are given to superannuation to be looked at in the same context, because they cost about the same today, $45 billion, yet the tax concessions are rising faster. So he's using these alarming numbers about the pension bill in 10 years' time. Well, the tax concession bill for superannuation is going to be even bigger.
So I want to talk about those tax concessions in a moment, but can I ask you firstly, is Joe Hockey, do you think, making a mistake in focusing on cuts to the age pension?
It's an area that needs review. I mean, he's used statistics in the past, for example, that 80% of people that receive the pension have assets of more than $1 million. Now, most people would think that's not well targeted in that sense. I think in terms of the age pension, it needs reform. I mean, the level of the pension itself, in my view, is too low for those who are genuinely entitled to it, but there are a lot of people who get the pension who probably aren't entitled to as much of a benefit. So it needs reform, and it needs broad-based reform, as I say, not just on the spending side, but also the tax concession side as well.
So how costly then are superannuation tax concessions in comparison to age pension costs?
They're roughly the same. The figures we're using is sort of $44.8 billion for for the age pension and $44.9 billion for the superannuation concessions. But the superannuation concessions are rising faster. So when Joe says that bill's going to be $70-odd billion in 10 years' time, well, the tax concessions are going to be even bigger. And you've got to look at that in the context of total tax concessions, which today are like $120 billion, and they'll rise to about $150 billion by 2016-17. So you can't look at one shoe. I mean, I haven't put down one shoe. Look at the expenditure side without looking at the tax concession side, in my view. And there was an audit, Australian National Audit Office report back in about 2008, that said whenever you review expenditure, you should also review tax concessions. I don't think they have.
You argue that 36.1% of the tax benefits go to the top 10% of income earners. Can you explain how superannuation tax concessions skew so heavily towards high income earners?
Well, if you take a person who earns, for example, $250,000, they only give up $62.50 after tax to boost their superannuation by $100. Whereas somebody who earns, say, $20,000, it costs them about $118 after tax to boost their savings to $100. So the skewing of the tax concessions in favour of the rich is very significant. And I think that sort of example, you know, emphasises the point that the low-income earners are actually penalised in terms of preparing for their superannuation.
What then are the political imperatives, do you think, preventing the Treasurer from going down that path?
Pre-election commitments to say that they wouldn't change some of these things in this term. But as I understand what he's going to do, he's going to talk about the budget over the next 10 years, achieving a surplus perhaps in 2023, for example, of about 1% of GDP, and the sort of changes that will be required over that period to achieve that. So some of these things could be a matter of sort of laid before the Australian people at the next election, but spelt out today as to what needs to be done in terms of age pensions or what needs to be done in terms of other aspects of expenditure and tax expenditures. And I think that's what he's going to do. So the political imperative really is to be able to argue the case, be prepared to state what has to be done quite openly and objectively, and then be prepared to argue that, debate it, defend it, over a period of years actually to get it delivered down the track. And that's what we have had, not had in this country, is that sort of leadership in terms of, you know, taking the community with you, if you like, explaining what the problem is, how big it is, what needs to be done, sort of changes that can be made, what the options are, why you've picked the options you've picked, and how you need their support over time to do that. And I think that's really what Joe's going to have to do, starting with this budget.
Do you think he will?
I think so. I mean, I think Joe's particularly well motivated to do this. Short-term political considerations have always cut into these things, but I think we've, you know, the electorate's a bit tired of just short-term politics and 24-hour media cycle. I think they want to see leadership. They will understand. Look, our tax to GDP and our expenditure to GDP are below the OECD average. You know, that tells you that we have, and we do have a pretty effective welfare system. It can be improved, but it's pretty effective. But I think most people understand that if they want all these additional expenditures, Gomsky, National Disability, NBN, other infrastructure and so on, then it's got to be paid for somehow. And I think the government's got to say, okay, we are committed to delivering these things, and this is how, you know, these are the options we think are in front of us as to how they can be paid for, and this is the one we're going to back, and this is what we're going to try and deliver over a period of years. And I think that's, you know, that would be a refreshing change to the political debate in this country.
Can I ask you just finally, if there is a budget emergency, as the government suggests, would a quick fix be simply to increase the GST?
Well, you know, they are going to have a review of tax, and I think inevitably in that review you'll look at both broadening the coverage of the GST. I think it's about 60% of expenditure, and the expenditure it's not on is growing faster than the expenditure that it is on. And you'd also look at the rate, and I think, but you need to do that in the context of a proper review of tax at all three levels of government, I think. And that's what hasn't been done, which needs to be done. The GST then certainly is, you know, stacks up as an option.
Dr. Hewson, thank you. Former Federal Opposition Leader, Dr. John Hewson.